You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
It's all been hooked up wrong in there. It's like when a woman installs a VCR, am I right? That's sexist comedy.
Real old-timey sexist comedy.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, No Bad Girl Feelings Wrestling Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
Happy Thursday. I'm going to just remind everybody up front that I am making TikToks and I made some good ones today. So if you haven't been to that TikTok account at Tunnel Talk Pod, I would go check it out. So that's all. I just wanted to plug my work.
It's good work. People should go look at it.
For sure. Okay, we're going to start out today. I thought, let's start with what's spicy. Let's start with what is going to get our little hearts pitter-pattering.
Is that the MMA guys?
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah, of course we're starting with MMA. And I particularly wanted to talk about how Dan Lambert, when he does his Muppet jumps. No, we are going to start by talking about Eddie Kingston and CM Punk.
Woo!
Who had a little in-ring showdown on Rampage last week. Things got very heated. The feud is really kicking into high gear.
Unreal. I mean, these are two men who are good on a microphone.
Yes, and they really like, they feed off each other very well. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess it's like, you know, they're getting a lot back from each other.
15 years of history. This commentary
15 years
keeps
of history. I love when they just tell us. I mean, it's like, even if you haven't known each other for 15 years, just tell me you have. And I'll believe it. Be like,
at this point, I'll believe it.
Believe it, and I'll be more interested. I wanna know that you guys have been not really seeing eye to eye for a long time.
It's interesting because, like, I thought that the Miro and Eddie stuff was, like, really good. And I was like, wow, those two are well matched. I didn't realize that Eddie was just fucking around. This is Eddie mad.
Oh, yeah. Well, because with Miro, there was, like, no, it was a theological debate. There was no personal component. Yeah, it was just, like, Eddie was just, like, yeah, it was all kind of theoretical. But this feels very, very personal. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's saying no one wanted you to come to AEW. He called
no one in the locker room trusts you.
No one in the locker room trusts you. He called CM Punk a body shamer.
Yeah. The locker room stuff did make me wonder if, like, because Colt's been there a long time, if people are, like, taking sides. Colt
V, CM Punk. The best promos are the ones that, like, seem to have, like, a grain of truth. Yeah. So, like,
they
the
just
second he said it,
on,
I'm like,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
Love to think about it. Mm-hmm.
Which, like, yeah, I mean, and especially with the just the vibes of people who do wrestling, it wouldn't really surprise me if there was a certain amount of, like, people are kind of openly having it out about stuff sometimes. So it's like, it wouldn't really surprise me if it was kind of coming up.
They don't seem like men who really repress their aggressive feelings.
They repress some things, but not others.
That's right.
Quote me on that. Anyway, Eddie challenged Punk to fight at Full Gear. Punk said he thought maybe they'd fight on Dark or Elevation because that was more Eddie's speed. Ooh, I lost my
brutal.
Mind.
That was fucking very brutal. Rude. Yeah.
And then, I mean, this was so hot. I just can't even deal with it. When Eddie was just saying, fight me, fight me, fight me, fight me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Eddie Kingston. Yeah.
I've never wanted to fuck him more. I'm sorry to be crass.
No, you're right to say it. Of course, we all felt that way.
It's true. And he's when he's got that, like, chip on his shoulder, like, the guy who, like, wasn't making it while CM Punk was making it for all those years, like, that kind of Eddie is really horny.
For sure. And it's, like, a great kind of chip on the shoulder where it's, like, I like that Eddie's attitude is not like, I'm mad that I didn't make it. It's like, don't disrespect me mm-hmm. for the work for what I did and for what I've been through. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's really, that's hot. Mm-hmm. It's just hot. And so anyway, Eddie was kind of goading Punk as he left the ring. Punk headbutted him. They got into a full-scale brawl. All the refs had to come out to drag him off each other. This is why we watch wrestling. I mean, it was electric.
I love when the referee corps has to come out. It is my favorite thing when they all come out with their stupid little striped shirts and they're all like running at. Oh God, it's so fun.
And so many of them came out, plus like a bunch of other like backstage people. Yeah. It was like there were like 30 people necessary to pull them apart. I felt too like CM Punk really got like. Like normally he seems pretty in control of himself, but this seemed like he was losing.
Yeah, he was mad. He had crazy hair at one point, like his hair got all fucked up and he just like his eyes were wild and his hair was crazy and he kept escaping whoever had him and like diving at Eddie again, and I was like, I like this,
especially when it went there, because like for a while he was being kind of like
condescending.
Yes, that was exactly the word I was gonna say, which made me very mad at him, but it was very like in control and like, Eddie, like, buddy, we all thought you had a lot of potential. Like,
I know. Yeah. I think he played it really well to get everyone very riled up. And then so other stuff going on in the feud this week, Eddie published an article. I don't remember where the article Pro Sports Players Tribune published an article just about his journey to AEW and his pro wrestling journey and about his life. That it was the first thing that I read in a day. Someone posted it in our group chat. I wake up to my horrible alarm where I have to do math. I have to solve a math problem to wake up. And this was a hard one. And then I immediately read the, is this fun? I immediately read the article. I'm just crying in bed. I haven't done anything else. Yeah. I love him.
I'm the one who posted it, and it's because I opened my Twitter feed and I'm like scrolling through and just like looking at the usual stupid shit that's all over Twitter. And there was a link, and the only thing Eddie said was, shit's crazy. And so I clicked on it expecting it to be like nothing, and then started reading it. And then as I started going down, started sobbing myself because he's got such a way with like words. Like he's got a turn of phrase that like just knocks me out.
It was crazy, how well written it was, which, I mean, it was just, like, how he talks, but it was still, like, for a pro wrestler, you should not be, like, this effective at telling stories. And, like, you, like, linked it with a, like, oh, I'm, like, crying my eyes out, and I was like, oh, sure, it'll be, like, a little emotional, and then it was just, like, full, like, tears running down my face by the end of it.
Well, there's just something about somebody being, like, I mean, it was just it felt like a really honest, like, these are, you know, these are problems I have, and these are, like, bad things I've done, and these are good things. I don't know. It just felt really, made me feel a lot.
Very raw. Yeah. And like halfway through, I was like, man, this is emotional. And then it like kept going and getting more and more. It was just like Eddie.
The point where Cody like gave him that tryout and he had no idea it was a tryout. And he was like, I was just trying to get paid. I was just trying to find out how much it was going to pay.
Like the first thing I asked was, what does it pay? Yeah. And then that story about Brody Lee weeping.
I know. Made me like everybody.
I know. And it also was just good insight where I was like, oh, it is so right that it's like, he needed just like it's right that Eddie needs someone to just like shove him and be like
wake up
yeah
and then he was just like, whatever, I went out there, I talked, it was fine, I guess. And then like it was trending, like sign Eddie Kingston and stuff. Just like, Eddie,
I know
you're so good.
And look at him now. I think I didn't realize how soon before we started watching he had joined AEW. Especially because it's just immediately when we started, he just has such a strong personality that you're like, that's a fixture. That person is so clearly a fixture of whatever room they're in. It didn't even occur to me that it was a recent thing.
I mean, to me, he's always been at the same level as Mox and Jericho. You know, like, I, if you had told me that he was a wrestling legend, I would have been like, yeah, of course. But to hear that he was on, like, backyard indies, like, days before he got signed is crazy. Yeah,
fully crazy.
Amazing. Anyway, obviously, it feels like pretty meaningful timing on that article. To me, he's getting me ready to... I was already ready to lose my mind for him at Full Gear, but double ready. And then on Dynamite this week, we got a brief Eddie Punk parking lot promo where I love that it just cut in, no explanation for what had happened. They were just in the parking lot brawling with like 10 people, including Ruby Soho, trying to keep them off each other.
I didn't have this thought on Dynamite, but when you put it on the schedule like this, it does make it seem like it's a continuation of their Rampage brawl, and they've been brawling all weekend and they just ended up in that parking lot and people are like, guys, you gotta go home at some point.
This is like that time that we were like, the Lucha Brothers and the Young Bucks are gonna get, they're gonna have a sleep in the steel cage.
Very true. It is very funny to be like, just don't even worry about what they said to each other. It was mean, probably. Now they're... Ruby Soho was like touching Eddie's face and stuff too, which was erotic.
Like, I'll so many it. Things in professional wrestling. I did love... I mean, it's like, for a woman to be like the force that is stopping a man from doing violence because she's strong. I like that personally. Yeah. For me, I like it, which is my business. Do you guys have a feeling about like how big old TK wants the crowds to feel going into this about Punk and Eddie? Like, who?
I honestly, before this article came out, I would have been like, I genuinely don't know who's going to win, but I sort of feel like it has to be Eddie now, but I think the crowds are going to be split. I think it was my Rampage that they fought that, that Brian Danielson and Eddie Kingston fought. That was my Rampage was Eddie Kingston and Brian Danielson, and the crowd was split. They were cheering for both of them.
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to be the same thing where the crowd is just completely split. And I hope that Eddie gets it. I want him to get it. Bryce, do not fuck this up. Bryce, you fuck this up again.
I want Eddie to win. And I also really feel like because I can't remember anything that's happened. So I had to read through a recap of what was happening in this confrontation on Dynamite, on Rampage, I think. And when I was reading the stuff they were saying to each other, I was like, objectively, CM Punk comes off like a fucking dick and Eddie doesn't.
Yeah.
And it to me really felt like, but I've got brain worms and I love Eddie and I think he's the best. But I was like, Eddie comes off as a face and Punk comes off as a heel because of the stuff, literally the stuff that they're saying to each other.
Yeah, there was like CM Punk was being so condescending, I felt furious at him, but I do feel like I've lost all perspective because it's like I would cheer for Eddie over anyone basically, and I was so mad at CM Punk. But there was some stuff I feel like in there, because I had some comments in my notes where there was a point where I was like, I think the crowd maybe booed Eddie a little bit, he was saying something. I was like, there was a point where he was seeming a little more heelish to me, or maybe intended to be heelish, but I don't remember the specifics now.
I assume it happened and I have no memory of it. And it was interesting because it's like, I probably would have said they were both being jackasses, but then it was just reading it with no inflection, I was like, well, one of you is nice and one of you sucks.
Yeah, well, honestly, Eddie was like, oh, you thought I was bad and fat, and CM Punk's no, I saw greatness. I don't know, it was just
in a condescending way, saying, exactly. And when he's being I saw greatness in you, but you, it wasn't because it was Brian Danielson did that. We're calling him Brian Danielson. Yeah, that's his name.
That's his name, yeah.
Calling him these days. He also had that thing where he was like, we expected great things from you and you didn't live up to it,
but
totally very different,
very
totally
different.
Extremely different, especially after that last confrontation they had before they fought. It just was so clearly
CM Punk said it like a disappointed high school principal kind of tone, or just setting himself up he's way better than Eddie and in a different league, whereas Brian Danielson didn't.
Yeah.
dying about a scenario in which Eddie is Buffy and CM Punk is Snyder.
Wow. Well, what an ending for CM Punk. Okay, well, I'm only going to be thinking about Eddie as Buffy for the rest of this podcast. Let's talk about some more fan favorites. The Acclaimed, who had a busy week. Anthony Bowens got punishment booked to fight Bryan Danielson. I don't know what for. Like, I mean, I loved that what they the Twitter exchange they had about it, but I actually don't know what bad thing they did that caused TK to be like, you have to fight BD.
Did they call him a bad boss? Was that
I think that they've been calling him out on social media for the past like 3 weeks, and I think
they're like, no one else will feud with us, so we're going for the top.
I think one of the rampages or something that I don't even think they ended up airing it, but like they did a rap that was just about Tony Khan. It was like not about anybody else.
I'm obsessed with it. Everybody loves The Acclaimed. Max Caster did a little rap about Bryan Danielson being a weird hippie, as I believe Leah put it. And
Bryan Danielson made little like hurt faces too, which did. I enjoyed.
He was like, oh, guys, that was real mean.
That was so mean.
What's bad about having a farm? thoughts on that match in general?
That was the most that I've enjoyed Bryan Danielson in a long time. I don't know, something about like the way he just was like, oh, that's not what I was expecting to happen. I thought we were going to do some wrestling, and now you guys are even kind of mean about it.
Well, it's fun that Bryan Danielson has a little, he has that vibe of like, he wants to have mutual respect with people. Yeah, that's right, very much his vibe. And so it's like The Acclaimed coming out, and he's like, wow, you guys kind of don't do the mutual respect.
You're just not doing that. Wrestling wise, like Anthony Bowens is also a grappler, but he moves so fast that I felt like multiple times Bryan Danielson was reaching for him and Anthony Bowens just ducked him. And it was just really like fun and interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Because I think my number one complaint about Bryan Danielson is just that he's much like a slower, still guy. And I felt like Anthony Bowens kept him moving. And I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I agree that it's really fun to watch Danielson when he's up against someone who's like doing something different than what he, you know, than what he does. But
yeah, it was fun to watch him be like game for The Acclaimed too. Yes. It was just like very fun. I really like Bryan Danielson right now. So
Well, we'll get into it some more later. But also, I'm really down a hole. and then also on Dynamite this week, Anthony Bowens fought Jungle Boy, who. We need like a little hair alert sound. Or at least the sound of hair blowing in the wind. Don't know what that would sound like. He's growing a beard. I want to take the temp of the pod here.
On Jungle people, Beard?
Jungle Beard. On how people are feeling about the Jungle Beard.
I think it could be less patchy. It's pretty.
I think maybe he needs to give it like 4 to 5 more years until he's a real jungle man before he makes a play for the beard.
I believe I said it's giving me big gap year energy.
Yeah, it's very baby's first beard.
Right. And there is a thing, like, my brother's in the military, and so obviously he can't like grow facial hair, and so every time he has like any kind of like vacation, he like doesn't shave and he grows it out to see, he just wants to check to see whether he can grow a full beard yet. And that's the vibe where Jungle Boy is like, I'm just checking to see what's going on.
Right.
I'll try again soon, maybe.
And he is surrounded by lots of men at AEW who have really full, lustrous beards of various shapes and sizes and colors. So I can see how you'd get like the stars in your eyes and you'd be like, maybe I could have a beautiful beard. Well, you can't. You're a baby. You're a child. You're a little baby boy. You can't grow a beard and you shouldn't yet. And we don't want to see that on you. You're a child.
This is national television. Children shouldn't have beards on television or anywhere else.
Children should be seen beardless, not heard.
That saying we all say all day long.
Yeah, but he got, so that was, he fought Bowens. Max Caster was ringside. Max Caster was born to be ringside.
He was, but is he hurt?
I was wondering that too.
Yeah, I don't know. Everyone's just getting all the, they're like, he can wrestle. Max, you can rap. That's your thing now.
Which, I mean, he doesn't seem mad about it. And honestly, he does a great job. But I'm just wondering. I'm like,
they did just have a, who did they just, they just fought Best Friends. Did they have another match after that? Or?
You'd love if I knew that.
I would love it. But I know none of us do. Well, it wouldn't crazy surprise me if he was potentially dealing with some small injury. And that's why they're doing single stuff. I don't know. But he seems perfectly happy about it. Yeah. And he's just so good at being a pest. And
yes. He's the really world's greatest pest. Really.
He's just a perfect pest.
Yeah. I loved it so much when Jungle Boy almost had Anthony Bowens in a snare trap. He was like seconds away from like pinning him, getting the win. And then he saw Max Caster and he was like, I have to punch him in the face. I have to. And he dropped Anthony Bowens and dived at him.
I know. Jungle Boy like flicked him off at one point too, which was very like, little Jungle Boy, I didn't know you knew that gesture.
I know. It turns out like we thought his only, the only emotion he was capable of conveying was like vacancy, but it turns out it's also like anger. He can do a little anger. He's mad, he's been
putting some effort into his little, like his faces in the ring this week I thought were like pretty good, you know. He was conveying some irritation.
Well, it makes sense to me because don't you feel like what the Elite has been doing kind of is like you know, in a cartoon where someone's legs are getting wrapped up in like a leash and like they're just looking more and more confused and like and mad and like, how could this be? I can't get out of this. Like, I feel like they've managed to do that to him. And so a lot of stuff is coming out that we've never seen before. He's never had a leash wrapped around his legs before.
Yeah. I mean, I do think he's having some good people to play against with promos and antics and personalities, and Max Caster included.
Still, I thought it was quite the low blow for Max Caster to tell everybody that he's bad in promos.
That he did. Was very funny.
Well, Max Caster fully lost his mind in that JB rap because he did say you're bad at promos or whatever. And then he said that, I really love us to unpack this. He says, I don't want to kiss you even though you're my fetish. That's what he says to Jungle Boy. I don't want to kiss you even though you're my fetish.
On national television.
He says, you are my fetish.
Yeah,
but
so is
in
that
terms
like
of kissing you, I don't want to.
Right.
What does that mean?
Do you think his fetish is like twinks?
I think he's saying like, I'm attracted to twinks, but you're my exception. Like, I don't.
I'm attracted, even though you're the twinkiest of twinks, I still wouldn't kiss you.
I guess that adds up. I think that somehow I'd gone to like a more metaphysical place where I was like, his fetish is Jungle Boy. So what does it mean to desire something but not desire it at the same time? You guys may be onto something. I think you might be right. Me wrong.
Listen, I would listen to a 2-hour podcast where somebody made Max Caster unpack this himself. Where I'm What did you mean by this?
Talk about your desires, Max Caster, and which you want to act on and which you don't.
He can't decide in these raps if he want put it in or have it put in, if he want.
Because his number one attraction is MJF, right? So like, what do MJF and Jungle Boy have in common?
They're both MJF. Beautiful young boys. Of age. It's fine.
Marjorie, could you do a little edit right there?
Take it all. Marjorie, actually, we just wound back this whole section, I think.
As soon as we said fetish, just cut. Yeah.
It's like, did Max Caster start it? Yes, but we're finishing it at our own detriment.
And now Marjorie's going to suspend us for 2 months. It's going to fucking suck.
Oh, no. We're going to have sensitivity training.
Our podcast goes on a 2-month hiatus while we go through our...
And don't worry, when we come back, you'll never hear us say phrases like put it in or have it put in again. Okay. After JB, he forced Anthony Bowens to tap out. We had a little segment where Bobby Fish came out and attacked him. And then Christian Cage and Luchasaurus came out and protected him. And then he was like gently cuddled by Christian Cage and Luchasaurus, who I guess are his fathers now, but I don't like it. I don't approve of it.
They very
tenderly hate Christian Cage now.
Yeah. They very tenderly put his little head on their shoulders one after the other. But...
Even though he had that beard on it. But they touched it. They didn't mind.
That's true. That's worried. True fatherly love, I guess.
I don't think that Luchasaurus can throw stones at other people's facial hair. Like, that's I think Luchasaurus true. Is like...
Well, you can throw stones at anything.
That's why Jungle Boy has his terrible facial hair. It's like
oh
he
my learned, God,
it
right.
from
I learned it from
you.
Watching you. You're right. Well... Well, but Christian
no,
Cage has
a
normal
that,
beard,
yeah,
which
Christian
I think
Cage
is what
is
he's going for.
A normal beard, yeah. Or Jungle Boy's going for. I was like, yeah. I think Christian Cage is going for a normal beard, yeah.
I think he's achieving it. Christian Cage, I would say, yeah. Cave.
Christian Cage. Christian Cage, a grown man, has a normal full beard.
Christian Cage is where Jesus' body was for 3 days. Christian Cage. It's on AEW Dynamite. He has a normal beard, and I think he's boring.
I am really bummed that he's like always the third one there with Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus again. Like now, and I want Marco Stunt instead. I like Marco Stunt better.
Didn't the Elite recently make a joke on a BTE about Marco Stunt being MIA?
Did
I
they?
Think so.
I think they did.
I think so because I remember being like
where's
again,
Marco?
Like with the. Max Caster thing where you're like, oh no, that's too close. You can't joke about that.
Right. I know.
We all want him back.
So we were in the moment, I believe, all a little confused about why Bobby Fish was gunning for JB. But this is an example that others could learn from so immediately after the segment, we go backstage, the Bucks are there, Adam Cole is there. Adam Cole says, guys, I want you to meet someone. Bobby Fish on screen. He says, we used to hang out together. I don't know what he said. They were in a group together that I don't remember the name of.
Undisputed era.
The Undisputed era. That's right. And then we get a little promo where we get some dynamics. Adam right. Cole and Bobby Fish have a relationship. Matt Jackson is not loving to have somebody trying to cut in on his Adam Cole time.
Matt Jackson's whole thing where he was like, you can be friends with us, but just so you know, Adam Cole is ours.
That boy is mine. I'm sorry about you.
Imagine how devastated the Bucks would be if they lost their Adam Cole. They have been so happy since he's been with them.
I know. I want that to happen at some
they
point.
Have
not
to
yet.
Eventually.
Not
yeah.
yet. Yeah. But at right. some yeah. point, I'm going run, to but... lose my absolute mind. I want it so bad.
That's what would devastate them more than anything. Like 10 times more than their tag team titles being lost, which didn't bother
didn't
them
at all.
Because they got Adam Cole instead.
When they got Adam Cole, you know. But so then we got, it's like Bobby Fish did it to be like, hey, the Elite, I'm here to help out. I'd love to beat up your Jungle Crew that you guys are having a feud with. And Matt Jackson said, okay, you can beat up Jungle Boy, but be careful because remember, Adam Cole is our boyfriend.
Right.
Not yours. So right. I'm sure that, you know.
And what did that promo was like what 30 seconds maybe?
Yeah,
like
so
it was
short.
Not
take
long.
Much.
I don't require that much. I'm like, please, all you have to do is make a stab at explaining it to me and I'll follow you. I don't need I don't need years
it doesn't
of backstory.
Need, it's the, exactly.
This was
you don't
the
have
same,
to get into everything that ever happened. Just like give me the
And
basics.
This was the same level that of promo that we were getting for like Andrade MJF, which I continue to love. I'm like it works so
exactly.
well. You just have these little promos where we get a little bit of like what the vibe is, just two bad guys who are willing to do business for now.
Right.
Great. Exactly. Just like why they're together, what's happening, just in and out. Yeah. I know. And it's like, they just, do you think there are any like intellectual property issues with like explaining things that happened on WWE? I feel like even if there were, they should just make something up for AEW.
Someone DM'd one of our accounts and was saying that, that Vince is very Sue happy if you mention, but like you don't have with Malakai and Andrade, you don't have to mention anything. All you had to say like, hey, a friend of your wife.
Right. Yeah. Do something backstage that's like, here's the new explanation or whatever.
The Undisputed era is an NXT thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, this is a good example where it's like they go back because of WWE, but you don't have, they're not explaining anything in depth enough that it matters. It's just being like, this is an old buddy of mine. We have a relationship.
Right.
Yeah. And they made a joke about how this is an under dispute, which is an Easter egg for the people that would get it. But for us idiots, there was enough that we could follow it. And I'm like, that's what you have to do. Easter eggs for the nerds.
Yeah.
Like a path for the rest of us. That's all. Yeah. That's all you have.
And make it a little funny or interesting or whatever, which this was. Great.
Exactly.
We just want to be lightly entertained. You know, we have just
and have storylines make sense. Just give me the tiniest bit of background.
Why can't anyone be like our bucks?
Our beautiful bucks.
Why can't you be more like Matt and Nick?
That I've never felt it more than I do this week, because everything that they did made me happy. It was the best BTE in recent memory. They were
such
so
a good
funny
BTE.
Okay, let's briefly cover the other actual oh, this is another thing that they did that made me love them. Adam Cole fought John Silver this week and won. The Young Bucks did a little promo with him ahead of the match, and then they also were ringside. Matt Jackson was on wine. He just was drinking from a cup for the entirety of the segment, from the promo beforehand to the end, where he ripped off his shirt so he could do violence. And he seemed so happily, just little lightly inebriated. I loved it.
He doesn't drink, but he was still managing to give off Wine Mom vibes so
absolutely
much. And so the fact much that, like, what he was holding was a Dixie, like, coffee cup. It was clearly from catering. And I would love to dig in. Like, was he just drinking coffee and they were like, you have to go on stage?
Do your promo.
He was like, I'm going to make this work.
I need to clarify for our viewers. I didn't think that Matt Jackson actually had wine in his cup on TNT.
No, just spiritually.
Allie, thank you for that clarification, because during recent events, we take that very seriously.
Oh, God.
Right, boo.
Oh, no. No, spiritually, what was in his cup was wine from, like, the Costco wine advent calendar.
It was Meiomi, which they now are advertising on TNT, which
he probably won at a PTA auction. You know, it's
just right.
Wine momming it up.
Well, that's actually the funniest thing, because it's like, that's Wine Mom, where it's like he doesn't really drink, but mm-hmm. like once in a blue moon.
So
and
this
like
half a Dixie cup like has really gotten him there. Yeah.
Wow, I love Matt Jackson more than I love anyone in this world.
I've really gotten huge brain worms, and I can't stop. I just love him so much.
I mean, it's like they've been there, but it's like they're it's like mating season.
Oh no,
Marjorie, could you make another little
bucks are locking antlers in my brain? Right. Adam Cole got called Budge. Very funny. Again, great BTE. I don't know. I know that we can't like talk about it. It's not interesting to talk about what happened on BTE, but I need to say that it was so the energy of Nick Jackson in the backseat of a car driving to St. Louis, being like, I broke my foot. My foot's broken. I'm not going to be in the I'm not going to be in the pay-per-view. And Matt Jackson is just like, I think it's fine.
I think
will
it's
be
bruised
in the pay-per-view.
Sure.
I think it's
it
okay.
Hurts, but it's fine. I know. Well, and the recent BTEs have been like 17 minutes, like padded out with Brandon's, like,
and everyone phoning it in.
This was like 40 minutes of like non-stop
everyone in
hilarity.
The best mood. Like it was just.
I was like, what's in the air in St. Louis? Like it's like it was like a perfect day. Mm-hmm. They had a perfect day in Missouri. Yeah. I guess it happens even in Missouri.
Title of the podcast.
Yes. Okay. And so in the best friends world, let's talk about Ruby Soho and Chris Statlander, who decided this week to be on sex drugs, I guess.
Ruby Soho came out like, I've been looking at Chris Statlander, but I never saw her till now. And just like, she's ready to seduce her backstage.
Yeah. And it she's seducing her on stage in ring.
On stage.
In front of me.
True.
I see it.
Yeah. Seduced in ring, sex backstage, I think.
You know,
you can
like,
do it all in the ring.
Like, you know, like the 3 minutes before the porn starts where they're like, set it up and like.
No, I've never seen a porn.
And like.
What are you talking about?
And like the two people do the acting where they're like, look at each other. That was what was happening.
Wow. I'm going to have to check one of these out. Okay.
Yeah, just search in Google. Just search porn. Porn.
Okay.
Porn. Some stuff. Porn. Porn like it, acting. Porn. Anyways. Like acting.
I'll look it up. I'll weigh in next week.
No, but the two of them were unhinged with like the eyes. Yeah. With the sex yeah. eyes that they were giving each other.
It was crazy.
Well, especially it's like Ruby Soho was like licking her chops. Like,
yeah. Just... Her tongue was all the way out of her mouth. Like, her eyes were looking up and down. Yeah.
And I want the other women to learn from this because this was some of the best nose pose. That's not what we call kissing pose. Mm-hmm. Let's call it nose pose. Sure,
it does rhyme. I like it.
Some of the best nose pose that we've seen, and for them to give off such an electrifying energy, but they're not mad at each other. Mm. They're respecting each other competitively and sexually, mm-hmm. erotically.
As athletes, yeah.
As athletes and as women
and as lovers, yeah.
look at it. Everyone, look at it and learn mm-hmm. from it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all. That's your
assignment. A little more of that from the rest of you.
Yeah, some of you have never done nose pose in your life. And it shows. Nose pose. Would you say that that's the sexiest name that we've come up with for mm-hmm.
yeah.
kissing pose? It's mm-hmm. better than kissing pose, right? Nose pose?
Nose pose. Yeah. I'm horny.
Yeah, okay. Well, as long as everyone's horny, we're doing our jobs. So, best friends also... Orange Cassidy was going to come ringside with Rocky Romero to fight Bryan Danielson this mm-hmm. week on Dynamite. Beforehand, they posted on Twitter a little promo video where Rocky Romero was like, "You guys are all in Chaos Project now," which is an NJP.
It's just chaos. Chaos Project is Luther and Super Tacoma.
Oh, right. I was looking at it like, I think that's right, but I was just going to say it anyway. I wrote it, so...
I would sorry, Luther. Okay, listen, just a brief sidebar. It would be quite an interesting little winter if they decided to align themselves with Luther and Serpentico.
Oh, well, never say never.
I'd let them have it. You know, take me on a journey, guys.
Okay, so that they're in Chaos now, which is an NJPW faction that Okada, I was about to say runs, which is like kind of like it's a group project. I don't really know. It's like his. He's in it. I don't know. He's a big. Have you ever heard of him, Okada? Kind of a big guy.
I think he's the sorority president.
He's the sorority president. Okay. Well, I hope that he goes toe to toe with Matt Jackson, also a sorority president. Anyway, so Rocky Romero was like, "You guys are in Chaos now," and Dustin was like, "I'm already in. I was already in Chaos. That was funny." So they're in Chaos. That's kind of all I got there. Does that mean anything to anyone? Like anyone else? Like, what?
All I did yesterday was ask the question, so what does this mean for me? And not one person could answer it for me.
For me. All they wanted to give you was facts about Chaos. Nothing.
Right. People kept being like, well, so here's the thing with Chaos. And I'm like, oh, but again. I
don't give a shit.
Does this mean Orange Cassidy is going to Japan? Will right. I get to see that?
Like, is this setting up a storyline or not?
And then Trent tweeted today and was like, guys, I think Rocky was making up the whole thing.
Yeah, because Rocky was Trent's old tag partner, right? When he left Chuck Taylor they were to go to Japan.
Roppongi Vice.
Yes. Mm. You got that right.
Thank you.
Impressive.
Yeah, and so then, OC was out there when Rocky Romero fought Bryan Danielson, which was fine. Bryan Danielson and OC did have a little moment ringside, which made me think thoughts about them fighting someday.
I know. I was hoping that, like, Bryan Danielson would be offended that he got distracted enough to, like, want to fight OC. But I spent the whole time laughing because commentary was like, wow, usually Orange Cassidy is pretty useless, but right then he was helpful.
He definitely, like, that gave Rocky Romero a leg up, on purpose or not. Like, they were like, it could have just been an accident.
Sometimes he just puts his hands in his pockets and it distracts people, and he had no idea.
Yeah, which was perfect. And then later in that same show, Yuta Wheeler fought Wardlow and got, this was like the fifth time in a row, it feels like, squashed. Flattened by Wardlow.
So squashed.
Who in the, I don't think I even like they probably said it on commentary and I missed it, but when I was looking at the recap, got powerbombed four times.
I think when I was watching it, I like wrote in the notes like, wow, Yuta's really getting murdered, and then like 2 minutes, not even 2 minutes, like 2 seconds later he got pinned, and it was like, oh, it was like a literal squash match.
Yeah,
like, cool, great. Good job.
Has he had a single match where he didn't get squashed?
Definitely not on Dynamite. No. I think he's had some dark matches against like extreme jobbers, but I don't think he's ever won against anybody whose name we would know.
No. I mean, they're definitely, like, obviously they're doing it on purpose. They're like, this is a thing that we're doing with Yuta. I don't really like get it. It's like, I am kind of like, all of his classmates are getting to do big cool matches where they really like go toe to toe with like CM Punk, and Yuta is
I know, it's like 2.0 is getting Daniel Garcia the best matches of his life. Mike Seidel is like pulling Lee Moriarty into his feud and getting featured. The two of them are signed. Meanwhile, Yuta's not signed as far as we know and is doing jack shit. So we need to call DCF because these fathers are not doing their job.
And you know, we did say like when they first became father lovers, we were like, are they ready?
The answer is maybe no.
I mean, they're very tender when they take care of him after he gets destroyed.
After they let him get destroyed fully.
After they let him get destroyed. But then they bring him back to a hotel room and then they have Chris beat him up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they're abusing him, I guess.
They're more like mean older brothers than they are fathers, kind of.
I know.
Except, you know, sometimes they are nice to him. But
this whole thing is just them being like, no, we're not fathers. No, we aren't ready to be father lovers. Stop trying to say that we are.
Like, we found this baby, and I don't think we're responsible enough to take care of it. Like, please take him from us.
Well, I think if they found a baby, they'd be responsible enough to take care of it. I think they could handle it. But
do you?
I don't know.
I mean, they're not showing it.
Well, he's too old to be, you know. It's different.
You're right. It's harder to take care of a 24-year-old than it is a baby.
Well, it's less clear what to do, and you know, babies need very clear. They need to sleep, they need to eat, they need to suck tit. Like, it's all right there. But
is that the way that you had to say that?
Unfortunately, because my friends have a baby and they love to say that, now I say it all the time. I'm just like, it's he wants to be on titty. That's what they say about the baby, and I say it too. He wants titty.
I think that somehow this podcast has gone very wrong.
Oh, you think somehow suddenly it's gone? We've done quite a few episodes, and this can't be the worst. Well, let's move on. Okay, let's talk about Thunder Rosa. Ty Conti and Anna Jay fought Britt, Jamie Hayter, and Reba on Dynamite this week. They wore some matching costumes. That was nice.
Can I say that I hate Ty Conti and Anna Jay's ship name? Because it's a Sean Bean. It's a Sean Bean situation. Her name is not Tay.
Yes, it is. Oh, wow.
In fact, when they said it, when they actually said it this week, I was like, that's not right. And then I was like, it is right. But of course, in my head, when I see it, I say Tay J.
Yeah.
You have to.
Because you have to.
You have to say Tay J.
And but then like, every time I say Tay J in my head, and then I think, no, it's got to be Ty. And then I just like.
Yeah.
Ty Jai.
Ty Jai.
Yeah.
It's a problem. I don't like it. It makes me crazy.
It's rough. And I have to say, also, with all the love in the world, they looked very hot, but I don't love the pink. They all wore matching pink. Thunder Rosa. Ty Conti,
well, it was Wednesday, so.
What do you mean?
On Wednesdays, we wear pink.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Leah.
Okay.
Leah knows.
I was with you. No, right. I liked it. I liked the pink outfits. I thought they all looked fantastic, and I popped big time when Rosa came out to match them. I was into it.
I love that they matched, but
I love that Rosa got in on it. It wasn't my favorite of their outfits, but I was psyched that they matched.
I think that they all are blue-green girls, and I'd love to see them in blue-green more. So if you guys are listening, what I like. Jamie Hayter was wearing her big fur coat again. No nobody else is interested in this, but I still must say that I love that she and Yuta share that they're like, I'm going to make my long coat happen. But Jamie Hayter is actually making it happen because she looks, it's a full, very cool, almost famous vibe. And Yuta looks like he's doing Blade cosplay. So she is doing bad. She is doing better. Others wouldn't compare them. They wouldn't even think to bring these two up together in this way. But I am a trendsetter.
But you, galaxy brained. Yeah. I think maybe if Yuta wasn't feeling so hapless, just getting bashed around in 5-minute intervals, maybe he could pull the coat off a little better.
But maybe if he revamped his costume, maybe he'll have a moment where it's like he comes back stronger than ever.
And then a little cropped coat, maybe.
What did you guys think of this match?
Well, as you guys know, I can't stand Reba/Rebel. And she was like a huge part of this. And I think it was because they didn't want Ty Conti and Britt to interact that much.
Yes.
They didn't want Rosa and Britt to interact too much. They wanted to titillate us just a
and
little bit.
And they did. Oh, they did. Me.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
But I wish
that
Jamie
stepped it up this week.
I wish that Jamie Hayter had been carrying this match instead of Rebel, because Rebel is not a wrestler. She doesn't know how to wrestle. It's
well, then
so
why
bad.
Do I watch her wrestle so much?
I know, and she doesn't even bring that much to the table in terms of like talking either. No. I feel like so
she has a fairly. I think she's like plenty good at like the role that she has filled with Britt thus far
of just kind of like henchman who doesn't say very much.
Yeah, hapless like, henchman. I think she's good at it, especially as like kind of like a cheerful hapless henchman. I think she's good at it. But I think we're reaching the point where it's diminishing returns because I want to see more complicated stuff happen with Britt. Yeah. So it's, and I want to watch good wrestling when Britt is doing like tag teams or trios.
Yeah.
So I keep feeling like there's like something I don't understand about why she is as involved as she is. I don't know.
Feels like they need to get someone else in here like they did with Jamie Hayter. It's like grab someone from some other promotion if you have to and like get Britt like a third faction member who
can do stuff. And Rebel can come out with them. I don't give a shit if she comes out with them, but she needs to stop wrestling.
She's gotta stop. Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting. Yeah, I don't have anything interesting to say about it. I just, every time that Jamie Hayter doesn't do DMD, and sometimes Reba, Rebel, whatever, is like, you have to do it, and she won't do it, I'm like, ooh, I'm excited for the day when this pays off in some way, and I have no idea how Reba plays into that at all. Just don't care.
Little subtle faction stressor tensions is just very electrifying always.
Perfect. Okay. Let's talk about Dante Martin and Leo Rush had a match versus Lee Johnson. No, not Lee Johnson. Lee Moriarty.
There's too many Lees in this promotion right
Lee's
now.
Lee's not. I know. And especially when there's a Leo in there, too. I'm like, now you're getting me. But you know what? I'm mastering it. Lee Moriarty and Matt Sydal, right?
Yeah. Too many Matts also. Whatever.
Well, and then to be a Matt and then your brother is a Mike, it's like, okay, I've had enough. enough out of you, sir. I thought this was such a fun match that I had no particular, like, I only had the investment of being like, I want to see Lee Moriarty wrestle some more because we haven't seen him do that much. Mm-hmm. I want to see Dante Martin, my little baby, cry in the ring. This was so fun. I thought it was great.
I am so interested in this, where this is going. And it's strange because, like, I don't want to kiss or see any of these men do kissing.
I would let them do kissing. Each other do kissing in front of me. I don't know. And if anyone they wanted to. I'd ask them who they wanted to kiss. I wouldn't stop them. No, definitely not.
Well, it's
Dante Martin,
first.
I might be like, I need to see your ID. He's 20.
It's not the first thing I think of with this foursome, but and yet I'm invested. I'm trying to say that this is character growth for me to be interested in a feud, and
you're
I'm not thinking about kissing.
Interested.
I'm actually a wrestling nerd now. I'm actually an incredible wrestling nerd. I'm in it for the sport. And as the sports girl.
Well, Leah, I'm going to take your unaccompanied woman badge away from you.
Yeah, she was accompanied at her last match, and I see what happened to her.
Yeah, I've just been full sport girled.
Infected.
I don't know. I just really like it. I like whatever Leo is doing to Dante. As Sarah said yesterday, I someone needs to teach Dante the TikTok hand signal.
Do you guys think that that Dante is supposed to be projecting like I'm being sex trafficked like as much as he actually is? Do you think that's the goal?
I really do. I mean, I think that I would laugh really hard and not like be mad if at some point it became clear that he just can't act and thought that he was seeming enthusiastic. But I feel 90% certain that his vibe is supposed to be I'm being railroaded and I don't know how to advocate for myself.
I mean, he's selling it for sure.
He seemed like he and Lee Moriarty seemed like they were having so much fun. I don't know what that move they did was when they were like both backbending or, you know, when they're like, they're just like, they were doing acrobatics. And I was like, I hope they get another play date. But Dante's in kind of a rough family situation, so I don't know if it'll be possible.
Yeah, it's like, you can tell that these guys are, they're like young, their joints are still springy, their ACLs haven't been torn yet, you know, like they can leap all over the place.
I haven't had a lot of thoughts about Leo Rush's body, but his jumpsuit caused me to have many thoughts.
Well, I also had some thoughts.
I looked up at one point and I was like, who is that lady in the ring with those lady hips and that lady jumpsuit? But it was Leo Rush. And I was like,
yeah, well, he looked like he was wearing a corset.
Yeah. And you know what he does? He does the, like the, I know it's not just her, but the Black Widow superhero landing move where he's like being like, I'm a hot lady with a hot body. And I was like, you look like actually like borderline, like he's in one of the drawn comics where like if you saw a drawing of it you'd be like, this is setting an unrealistic body standard for women.
Well, as the hot one of this podcast, I respect him and I think he's doing a great job.
Okay, that was well, that's beautiful. Lee, I love to hear you maintain solidarity with Leo Rush.
Hot girl club.
Yeah, love that for you. I wasn't knocking him. I'm just saying that's what it made me think of.
Yeah, and no, at no point.
To think. Yeah.
No, at no point was I complaining about his not costume. It was just startling.
Yeah.
It was startling. Yeah.
Because he's been wearing a lot of baggy clothes until now. And then when he pulled that out of his
I just wardrobe. Couldn't even tell you anything about what he'd been wearing or what his body looked like at all. And then all of a sudden it was just like, oh,
he Emma Frosted right into that.
Oh yeah.
That full white catsuit bodysuit covered in diamonds.
Yeah.
okay. We have our fun.
We never stop having our fun. Okay, final segment of Dynamite this week. Kangman and Henny. Henny and Hangman had their contract signing. They sat down at the table together. Tony Schiavone, sweet and hapless, unprepared to deal with what he should have known was going to be a highly contentious situation.
He's
sometimes
just
I think Tony
optimistic. He always
advocate
thinks
for yourself.
He always thinks that these contract signings are going to go fine. He's like, you just take the pen and you just sign it, and then we'll all get out of here. I know we can do it.
Yeah, they've never gone good.
It's like he's never been in divorce court before.
too wholesome for contract signings. It got deep. They really got into some of their issues. Mm-hmm. They said some of the quiet parts out loud.
They really went for the jugular with each other there, the way only two men that really know each other can.
When Hangman made the Ibushi joke, I made noises out loud.
Yeah. That was really something. Yeah. Kenny's had some bad breakups, you know?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much nothing but it's like Kenny, you know, if you at a certain point, it's you. The problem is you,
right,
as Liz Fair would say. If you do it and you're still unhappy, Kenny, then you know that the problem is you. It was like, you know, Kenny was basically being like, I tried to be good to you. I mean, not in a credulous way, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But he's being like, I tried to be good to you, but you weren't good enough. Like, and Hangman, this really hit me where he was just like, you know, one time when I got knocked down just before we started watching, so I don't know what the situation was, but I don't remember right now. But he was like, you said you were proud of me, but you weren't proud of me. You were scared of me, and you were scared of what I could become, and you kept me down by basically like saying condescending platitudes to me. And I was like, that's fucking, that's the real ish, dude. That's the real friendship ish that resonates.
Yeah, that's like some real like just little manipulative toxic friend issue stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that Kenny wasn't being credulous, but there was also something about what he was saying that like made you think he believed what he was saying, which made it hit harder when he kept being like, I don't know if we'll ever be friends again. We might. And it was like this.
And part of that is it's like, I mean, Kenny is down a hole. Kenny is down a personality hole right now. So I agree. It's not like he is being like purposefully, I don't know. Like, yeah, I agree that it's like the Kenny, the character like believes what he's saying.
Yeah.
But Kenny, the character right now, is also deeply manipulative and like fucked up about certain stuff about himself and about Ibushi.
Yeah. I thought it was really interesting that Kenny said, like, I don't know if we could ever be friends again. Maybe like that they even raised the possibility that they could be. I was like, it'd be real interesting if they like brought this all, you know, like if in 3 years or something, like they have like made up somehow, like that would be cool.
Well, I was thinking during this segment and I was like, I think it's the time. I want Hangman to get that belt. I want us to like reach that milestone in this story. But I don't want the story to end. No. I understand that like you gotta, it's gonna take a backseat in a big way, but like you have to keep going. Like, and we have to continue to explore the long-term.
Well, it's like
dynamics.
Honestly, when you have like intense ex friends that are then still in the same promotion, like competing for the same title, you know, over a period of year, like that, the history is not going away.
I'm singing a Fall Out Boy song in my head right now in case anyone was wondering. So emotionally where I'm at.
I think if we could trust anyone in this company to keep it going, I do think it's them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, with Kenny, the fact that Kenny keeps his Ibushi stuff like on a low like burner somewhere, I'm like, he's not dropping the Hangman stuff. He's not.
Yeah. They like, they pay attention to their own little character notes.
Question, did you guys get got by the cameraman? Because I 100% did. Yeah. I was like, that cameraman is in the shot.
Yeah, I did too.
And
but
was
was
it you the other week who was like, sometimes watching wrestling is like being a 5-year-old watching close-up magic? Yeah. I thought about it. I was like, it's so true. I'm just like,
I'm along for the ride. I don't know what's happening. Like, you can surprise me really easily. It's like, yeah. Or like being a baby, like playing peekaboo. Yeah. Like, where did they go? They disappeared.
So Don Callis was dressed up as a cameraman. He attacked. It was good, sad, great. Like Kenny being like, shake my hand. I'm being serious. Like, let's both give it our all. And then of course Hangman get attacked by horrible Don Callis,
who was wearing for no real reason like a fake goatee and stuff, which is very funny.
Commit to bit.
Yeah, and then Hangman was bleeding from his forehead and Kenny signed the contract in Hangman's blood, which is...
Ooh, buddy.
Yeah. That's, wow.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Mm-hmm. And he did, like, the little Omega symbol, too. It was funny.
Okay. I mean, I can't wait for this. Hangman came across as, like... He came across as someone who's, like... I've been working on it in therapy. He was really giving us that, like, because
it was like
in therapy to myself, and I got to the bottom of some stuff that went on with me and you, and
it
I have
like
a grasp
Kenny,
on it now, and you don't.
Yeah, Kenny kept trying to like push on Hangman's sore spots that have always worked before, and now they're not working the same way. Yeah, wow. Are you ready, Allie? You're gonna be there.
I'm not ready.
It's crazy that it's like in 2 days.
It's in 2 days. I can't believe that. And I'm going to Rampage tomorrow, and then going to
I'm so happy that you're going to go with also someone else who's going to go ape shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, thank God we can hold each other. it's going to be crazy. We really don't have the time, but I think we should just do it. Let's just really quickly look at the Full Gear card together and see. Let's just say what we think is going to happen in some of these. So the buy-in is going to be Nyla I didn't even realize that. I think I missed this. Nyla and Jamie versus Sheeta and Thunder Rosa. That's cool.
Yeah. I think if Britt is going to stay champion, then Sheeta and Thunder Rosa are going to win the buy-in.
Yeah, I agree. Sense. Yeah, that sounds good. We're getting Bryan Danielson versus Miro. I know we've already talked about it.
Did I persuade you guys?
I think so, but it is crazy just when you look at their names together. It's like that Miro should not win. He probably will because he'll go up against Hangman, but it just doesn't make sense to me. just in the two of them fighting.
I think you made a persuasive argument, but it's so, I don't like it so much that I like can't engage with it really.
But maybe Miro will win and he'll be able to finally have sex with his wife.
Yeah, maybe so. Lana will show up. That's the thing I keep thinking is I'm like, if his wife doesn't show up at this company at some point, I don't know why he keeps bringing her up so much. So maybe she is going to show up and be like, with the power of pussy compels you to pull this one out, buddy. Inner Circle are having their Minneapolis street fight with the MMA.
The fact that I haven't watched the last three times they've been on screen is really handicapping my ability to predict.
I think Inner Circle, I think they'll win. What are we going to do? Keep doing MMA fighting? We can't.
How long are these MMA people sticking around? Like,
don't they have MMA matches to fight?
Already been so much longer than I thought it was going to be. So, yeah.
Ugh. Boo. Okay. Lucha Brothers versus FTR.
Lucha Brothers. I think.
Yeah.
Gotta be. If FTR win, I'll kill myself. JK, but... Darby versus MJF.
I don't really care. I'm just so happy. I don't know that I have a strong one about that one.
I think it's going to be Darby, but it wouldn't be like... If it's MJF, I want that to really kick off some new thing that's going on. And I don't know what that would be, but I'm open to it. CM Punk versus Eddie.
I want Eddie to win so badly.
And I feel like that would be, unlike Bryan Danielson versus Miro, for Eddie to be CM Punk's first loss. They set it up with the feud. It's such a spicy feud. The feelings are flying around. They earned it. Let's do it. Let's knock it out. Jurassic Express versus the Super Click.
I think Jurassic Express has taken a lot of pins lately. They deserve it. They gotta get it.
Especially to, I think that like to set up some more, like a new Super Click storyline, and they're like really moving out, especially with Kenny losing the belt. I feel like they gotta lose. Pac and Cody versus Andrade and Malakai.
Cody will probably win, but who cares?
Yeah,
I'll kill myself. It's gonna be a rough one for me.
Do you think Minneapolis is gonna boo Cody?
Ooh,
I hope so.
Almost everywhere is booing Cody. I'd love to find the center.
And this is in
the
pay per view, as we have talked about before. People are coming in from out of town, so I feel like it's slightly less of a reflection of like the local feeling.
No, you're absolutely right. But I love you being like, and if they don't, it's not my people.
It's not my city.
I don't know. I mean, Minnesota's funny because it's such a, you know. It's liberal, but not everywhere. So, and now I am like, it's a political, Cody's a political issue. So I don't know how he feels about that, but, and then, Hangman versus Kenny.
Oh, Kenny retains, right?
Kenny retains. Definitely Kenny retains. Yeah. I think for, another 2-3 years, maybe.
How much my mind would be lost.
I want to cry. I'm ready to cry. I need to cry.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Hang me. Am I right? Okay. Well, we'll check back in with you guys next week.
Yeah, by the time people hear this, they will have known whether our predictions are any good. Right.
They can listen to that and be like, these bitches don't know anything.
Stupid idiots. They thought Hangman was going to win the whole time.
Oh, no. Stop it.
What a terrible future.
Knock on wood. Okay. I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod and via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and come back to call us dummies next week.
done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.